Hello and welcome to Opinionated Marketers with Charles Nixon and Kieran Kapoor. Charles, you've been looking at new theories of consumer behaviour and you'd come across one called the conflicted consumer.
Well, that's my terminology. There are several theories which have been put forward of late about how the consumer may well be conflicted in their buyer behaviour. One by Schwartz on the basic human values and a couple of others really seem to highlight the idea that there may well be conflict is probably the best term in terms of people's buying behavior. So, for example, you know, you're concerned about the environment, therefore you would like to purchase in an environmentally friendly way. But to what degree do you actually pursue that, given issues such as current levels of inflation, your household income, and indeed perhaps your knowledge? And so one of the issues here becomes the openness to change versus the level of conservatism within a buyer. So the conformity aspect of your purchase, i.e. how radical am I prepared to be before someone in my neighbourhood or my colleagues and friends say, well, that's a bit balmy, or that's, you know, going out on a limb, versus, you know, how much would I actually want to buy because I want to be benevolent to society, or I actually want to enjoy myself. These are areas which, you know, we've seen in the past to some degree have been opposing our purchases. But now we find, I think, more conflict because people are being exposed to more issues now about the good that they can do with their money and the degree to which they are prepared to do so, which may not necessarily be economically the best move.
Yes, you can see this being played out politically as well. I don't want to get into a political discussion, but you can, or too much, but you can see that there's the conflict between, you know, green taxes and green growth and trying to encourage renewables compared to those saying, yes, but look at the sky high costs of living and, as you say, inflation. So there is a very interesting conflict, as you can see, played out on a bigger scale, but also on a much smaller one. As you know, because I have been bending your ear about kitchens this morning, I've got a new kitchen going in at the moment, currently washing up in the bath. And one of the things I read when I was trying to look for a green kitchen was actually the greenest thing you can do is not to buy a new one. And as a consumer, that is actually quite conflicting. Do I go out and use my money and think that I'm doing the right thing? Do I actually sit back and not spend? And we are still very much being encouraged to go out and spend and encourage the economy. You do get a lot of conflicting advice. But I think the rise of things like the electric car is quite interesting. You're talking about not going out on a limb and buying something that is acceptable. 3-4 years ago, buying an electric car was seen as a little bit weird, a little bit radical. Now it's almost, if you're not buying an electric car in certain circles, that would be seen as slightly unusual.
Yes, I mean, it was. I mean, 3 years ago when I bought my Tesla, quite a lot of people were, you know, peering over the garden fence in metaphorical terms going, why have you done that and what is it? And I still get the odd josh from people of, you know, how many times around the village can you actually go on it? The element is the same in the past with, you look at things like the tipping point from a theory, you know, items and new technology gradually gathers pace until it gets to a point of the tipping point at which everybody therefore decides that that is the way to go and it becomes the norm. I think we are in a different scenario now because of the pandemic and we have more choices. We've been told that, you know, we could actually make a difference if we spend locally to support local stores, which is probably what we did when there was a lockdown. So we've actually had the evidence as well as the theory. I think we've also got the situation, as you, you know, rightly say, you know, is people might want to buy good. But the problem actually is that the best good you could do is not buy in the first instance. And therefore, what do you do about it? Because we are addicted to purchasing. You know, we get a buzz from it. There is an undoubted upside to retail therapy. The question, of course, is how much of it can the planet stand? So I think these theories which are coming out is really trying to discuss in the open elements which have been in the background but not really concerned us too much in the past. You know, the idea of self-enhancements versus self-transcendence, which is, you know, are we actually being benevolent to society or do we actually want to make the purchase just for our own power and achievement? Those are some very crude terms, but are in the Schwartz model. And I think when we're talking about, say, sustainability marketing or ethical marketing, these issues have to be brought to the fore because it's where we are now with many consumers who are concerned about why they're buying the right thing. They have some savings because of the pandemic. What should they do with it?
And we were talking beforehand, we were looking at perceptual mapping. Now, if anybody's not aware of that, it's a sort of a typical 2x2 grid that marketers love, and it has two axes. Usually it's something like value and price, or quality and price, and you can map companies into the sort of high quality segment, high cost, high quality, low cost, low quality, yep. And so on. You were suggesting that for sustainability, we need to change the axes.
Well, the axes tend to be driven by what consumers purchase on. What are the trade-offs that consumers have? The one that I was discussing with you earlier and with a few colleagues is the one of manufacturers who have the ability to be measured by their carbon footprint. And it's increasingly been discussed as being one of the main issues for measurement of the effectiveness or the attractiveness of companies. And indeed, one of the Harvard Business Review's finalists for the McKinsey Award this year is on accounting for climate change, a very interesting article by Robert Kaplan. And here you might sort of put on one axis the carbon footprint from, say, being carbon positive through carbon neutral to carbon negative. And then I would hypothesize that the other axis should be the degree to which people are aware of it. So whether or not people are known or unknown about the degree to which the carbon goodness, if you like, for want of a better phrase, is known. At the moment, we have, let's say, BrewDog is carbon negative, very proudly and aggressively promotes itself as such. So to some degree, one feels, therefore, morally superior if one buys BrewDog beer, because you're not doing any harm and you're hopefully helping a good company. But the question that I would raise is, you know, how many other companies are doing stuff on this level but are not promoting themselves in this way, and therefore are not getting the competitive benefit of their emissions control? And I think the question becomes, is this strategically important now?
There is a set of studies done looking at companies that are, now I think the phrase was shy sustainables, right. Something like that. And one of the reasons that they choose not to do it is to avoid the tall poppy syndrome. So if companies put their heads above the parapet and go that we are ethical or we do this, instead of being automatically praised, what can often happen is that they receive a lot of criticism for, well, it's all very well you're good in that area, but what about other areas that you may not be considering? And so certain companies deliberately choose to be ethical, as in sustainable in certain ways, but don't make a big song and dance about it in case they get the backlash. So, which is the opposite side of your strategy of saying, well, if you are in that space, why aren't you out there telling everybody about it?
I can understand, you know, that there would be reluctance to do so. The altruism of doing the carbon reduction must be its own reward in those cases. And in which case, then, we need to think about the other axis on which people might buy if carbon footprint isn't one of them. One of the concerns that I have is that there is so much emphasis now on reducing carbon, reducing greenhouse gases. If companies aren't seen to gain reward in some way, shape or form from doing so, it will only be down to legislation that will force them to do so. That we know we still live in a economically driven world where finance is king. So for companies, they've got to see some commercial benefit. I wonder to what degree companies are also therefore conflicted as well as consumers.
It is a very, very interesting time to be watching changes. Obviously, COVID has exacerbated the changes and the pace of change. But you can see, I think conflicted companies is probably a very good phrase.
Yes, it's one where, you know, one could discuss and hypothesise for a long period of time, but come to actually no conclusion. It is the debate that's important, I think, as much as anything. I mean, there are large discussions at the moment about all sorts of ways in which you can look at the customer journey. And is the customer before onboarding making decisions based on environmental considerations? That's another one of the McKinsey shortlist. You know, we have a constant debate here, and it will only be through experimentation, I think, that companies will, you know, will work their way through it. The other aspect, of course, is the retail side of things, where your footprint could be negative, and you're doing all the right things, but you're just not convenient for the local consumer to nip round the corner and buy from you. We may be into looking at, you know, multiple dimensions of perceptual maps, because we need to take account of convenience, price, and sustainability. On that note, I think perhaps we'll leave it for the listener to draw their own conclusions.
I think that's a very good point. Thanks ever so much, Charles. It's great to debate as usual.